Yael Lisowski for the Consumer Choice Center, rounding out our guest list this morning, the global grassroots movement for consumer choice. In fact, not too often could we talk all within 1 hour to two people who have a residency, or at least a home and a frequent visitor to Vienna, Austria. How about that, Yael? Earlier this hour, we talked with a woman who is a local business owner in town from Vienna. And I know you're not in Vienna today, but I just thought it was kind of ironic that we had her on. And now we have you on the program here this morning.
Well, you could have told her that you host an international radio program. I'm sure she'd love to get back on as much as possible.
Well, no question, given that she's a sponsor of our show. Yes, in fact, we are internationally known, locally respected. And Yael, for yourself, what a strange world that you live in, the way in which you go about your daily business, promoting consumer choice, not only here in this country, but all around the world. You were out in Colorado Springs this week for what, a wake and bake session?
Oh, yeah, that I wish, Joe, but it was all work. This was State Policy Network's conference, and there was a fairly large session on the end of cannabis prohibition in the United States. So these are generally center-right, right-leaning groups, and there are very active discussions about what the next steps are going to be, the lessons that we've already drawn from states that have already tried some measure of cannabis legalization, and then also, on the other hand, the growing CBD market, which is very big, and we're starting to get the rules together, and it's something that's even thriving in North Carolina.
All right, those are two different things. Legalization of marijuana and cannabis containing THC, and the CBD industry, which is more of a pain type of reducer in the way in which people utilize the popular CBD oils and other types of products that are now legal that do not contain the THC but come from the same plant known as cannabis. So break it down for us. So let's start with the CBD discussion. This has become an extremely popular remedy, given the fact that we've got people that are turning to pill heads and opioid abusers. The CBD oil and treatments have provided a safe alternative to deal with everyday types of aches and pains, arthritis, among other things, insomnia. Talk about the growing nature of CBD and why, as consumers, we should continue to push for less and less restriction on this industry.
Well, this came about because of the 2018 Farm Bill that was passed in D.C. Something came from D.C. that we like, all right. And what happened in that bill is that it essentially allowed farmers around the country to begin planting hemp and to remove the restrictions that they previously had. So this was a sort of blanket green light that was actually spearheaded by Mitch McConnell, who is the Senate Majority Leader. He obviously in Kentucky has many hemp farmers, and we have much the same in North Carolina. So what we've had since that time is the growth of so many CBD stores. Your listeners know, in basically every town you go in, you're seeing a CBD shop pop up. You see some wonderful creams and liquids and perhaps some tea and all kinds of different ways that people are able to eat. And the consumer demand is there. The next question is about what regulation should be. It should not surprise your listeners that it's kind of a wild west out there right now. There aren't any mandatory testing requirements. There isn't really that much oversight by particular government authorities. But that's actually why it has thrived thus far. So what was just released are the Department of Agriculture's their guidelines for what the rules should be on hemp and CBD. And basically everything looks okay. North Carolina farmers, if they want to get involved in that, they're still going to have to get a license. They'll have to pay that. That's not too big of a deal. But essentially that was our first kind of framework for how CBD should be regulated. We haven't had too much apart from just having a license and then not allowing felons who've had some kind of marijuana conviction to be involved in the hemp industry, which I would actually disagree with, but it's at least the biggest changes that have come now from the federal government, and hoping that we can implement and change things for the better at the state level too.
In fact, right here in our backyard in Columbus County, a new company, Carolina Botanicals, formed to process industrial hemp. They just recently announced a nearly $3.5 million facility up out at Tabor City. That will create about 30 jobs. And as Yaella mentioned, basically every strip mall in the city of Wilmington and across America, you see these CBD hemp stores pop up. We've had the folks from the hemp pharmacy stop in our program to talk about the benefits, the risks maybe associated with CBD use. All right, and let's turn the conversation to cannabis. Obviously, several states, specifically out towards the Pacific Northwest, the state of Colorado, you go up towards the state of Massachusetts, they have floated the idea of making marijuana that contains THC legal. And when we talk about hemp, cannabis, marijuana, all in the same thing, just as there are different types of flowers and tomatoes, there are different types and strands of cannabis. And this goes all the way back to what was a conspiracy theory surrounding hemp and the use of hemp. One is all the way back since like the founding fathers of our country, you know, back in the 1700s and then into the early 1900s, over a 200-year period, hemp went from a widely used product, right, Yael, to one that was, you know, outright prohibited. And basically, well, a few people have some ideas that maybe big media during the time of Hearst and other big businesses across the country wanted to put tough restrictions on hemp, hemp fiber, because in fact, well, hemp is the flower that you know, gives to all, and they wanted to make some money, so they wanted to you know, have an all-out kind of attack campaign all the way back in the 1900s. Is there anything to that widely known conspiracy?
I would say it's a combination of both the cronyism and also a general fear at that time, also around immigration and a lot of people moving in from Mexico who had been using the plant traditionally for many years. And some of these communities in the West were not too open to this. So that's definitely one. And then the cronyism you mentioned, obviously William Randolph Hearst, this was a huge newspaper empire back in the day. You can imagine the amount of paper that they used when people actually read newspapers. So there was a lot there, and there is something to it. I mean, this was very elementary lobbying back in the day. Big businesses like this tend to get very, very close to government and to regulators. And I think that's why we always have to try to reduce the burden of the state so that everyone has a fair shot and that we don't have this much cronyism. But yeah, that was definitely a big start. It's been in place since the 1937, the federal prohibition. And really, this was something that was very new, this ban, because it had been used as a medical product for many, many years. So this ban really has been enforced with fire and fury, I would say, the last couple of decades. And what we've noticed now is that 11 states have legalized recreational cannabis. 37 states have some sort of medical program or CBD program. There's only a few states that aren't really opted into this. So it is a revolution. It started out in Colorado. They had their legalization out in 2014. Now we have it in California and Oregon and Nevada. There's many other jurisdictions considering it. This is an entirely new industry, and it's legitimate. This is not dealers in the back of the alleyway. It's actual people who are mostly, I would have to say, elder, particularly in Washington and Colorado. That is our what we see from the numbers, that it's actually an elderly population that's using much of the cannabis in the dispensaries. So there's a lot of things to unpack in there, Joe, but I hope that's a good analysis from 1937 on.
Yeah, and I would say so, and I would say that nothing has changed. Big corporations cozying up to big government to try and you know, squish out the middleman and the little man in all of this. Nothing has changed over this 100-year period. But tell me, you know, we are on a conservative news-type network here at the Big Talker, and we've got a lot of folks out there that don't think people should just be walking around in the streets smoking dope, getting high, being lazy, and you know, doing all of the such that goes along with smoking weed on a day-to-day. So tell me about some of the consequences or unintended consequences that you know, some of these states are seeing after legalization and what they're doing to address these concerns.
I think there was a big concern initially that this would change a lot of the culture, particularly of young people, or an idea that you'd have 40% of the population just trying to swarm some of the cannabis shops. You haven't really seen that. As much as beer and alcohol are drunk throughout the country, it's nowhere near for cannabis. So it's more of a sociable thing to drink, but less so to consume cannabis. So I think there is a stigma that's there. Additionally, you do have a lot of regulations in places like California or Oregon that are actually making it more dangerous than it is now. Now, for conservative listeners, you should care about the state, the government, and taxes, how much is being used by police officers to lock up nonviolent people who deal with cannabis. I think that's a pressing concern. And it's also the economic aspect. North Carolina is going to be a huge place to grow cannabis, whether it be hemp or the THC in the future. And there's a lot of potential for that. And we're seeing that in communities all up and down the West Coast. Unfortunately, they don't have the best regulatory system. They have incredibly high taxes, big fees on licenses if you actually would like to grow anything. And they've made it pretty much a calamity. And it's unfortunate because we don't want the experiment to die, because that's the greatest part about our country is the states are nice laboratories of democracy. But essentially, we haven't really had the societal shift. We haven't had those problems. We've actually had probably fewer crime in many places of Colorado. But yeah, it's that two-pronged approach I think is important for your listeners to get.
Everything in what is it? Is it, what do they say? Everything in take everything moderately. Everything in moderation, as they say. People that are going to smoke weed, they're going to smoke weed whether you like it or not. They've been doing so since the beginning of time here in our country. So, as you mentioned, while we may have some loosening of the restrictions and the legalization, we can compare and contrast the effects of alcoholism and alcohol use consumption of that here in our country as compared to the consumption and the sessions that folks have smoking and utilizing marijuana. But just a very, I guess you said, kind of a stigma still that hangs around weed smokers rather than, hangs around alcoholics. I mean, I could argue the fact all day that alcoholism is much worse than those who are smoking weed.
No doubt. And I think an important part of that is you mentioned, smoking weed. That has been the kind of stereotype for so long. But now the amount of products that they have, we're talking about gummy bears, we're talking about lollipops, we're talking about creams, shampoos, soaps. I mean, they're being able to embed this and merge it with so many different things that we're really not going to know who's consuming cannabis in many years. And a lot of people are incorporating this now into their beauty routines with great creams and lotions, people who are using this in their cooking. So there's a lot out there that is yet to be discovered. But I think it's just exciting to see a new market. As long as we're responsible, as long as we put the right resources there, I think this is going to be very good, not just for the country, but also for the states and the economic impact. And I think this is making our society generally a bit freer. And I think that's important.
The green rush is already here, and we need smart cannabis policy to direct it. The latest from Yael Osowski and his friends and colleagues at the Consumer Choice Center. You can find that article along with others that are centered around you, the consumer, and how we need government out of the way for you to be free here in this country, truly free in every sense of the word. ConsumerChoiceCenter.org. The green rush is already here. We need smart cannabis policy to direct it. Yael, a fun conversation. Great sesh here today, as they would say, in that world that many millions of folks live in on the day-to-day here from coast to coast. Great session, Yael. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
Yes, of course. Thanks so much, Joe.
Yael Osowski from the Consumer Choice Center with us right here on the Big Talker FM. Quick time out. We'll wrap it up for the week after this.